Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso, translated by Edward Fairfax. Part 3 of Book 20. But now, swift Fame, her nimble wings dispread, and told each where their chance, their fate, their fall. Rinaldo heard the case by one that fled from the fierce Turk, and brought him news of all. Disdain, goodwill, woe, wrath, the champion led to take revenge, shame, grief, for vengeance call. But as he went, Adrastus with his blade forestalled the way, and show of combat made. The giant cried, "By sundry signs I note that whom I wish, I search, thou art he. I marked each worthy shield, his helm, his coat, and all this day have called and cried for thee. To my sweet saint I have thy head devote. Thou must my sacrifice, my offering be. Come, let us here our strength and courage try. Thou art Armida's foe, her champion I." Thus he defied him, on his front before, and on his throat he struck him. Yet the blow, his helmet neither bruised, cleft, nor tore, but in his saddle made him bend and bow. Rinaldo hit him on the flank so sore that neither art nor herb could help him now. Down fell the giant strong. One blow such power, such puissance had. So falls a thundered tower. With horror, fear, amazedness, and dread, cold were the hearts of all that saw the fray. And Soliman, that viewed that noble deed, trembled. His paleness did his fear bewray. For in that stroke he did his end areed. He wist not what to think, to do, to say. A thing in him unused, rare and strange. But so doth heaven men's hearts turn, alter, change. As when the sick or frantic men oft dream in their unquiet sleep and slumber short, and think they run some speedy course, and seem to move their legs and feet in hasty sort, yet feel their limbs far slower than the stream of their vain thoughts that bears them in this sport, and oft would speak, would cry, would call or shout, yet neither sound nor voice nor word send out. So run to fight the angry Soldan would, and did enforce his strength, his might, his ire, yet felt not in himself his courage old, his wonted force, his rage and hot desire. His eyes that sparkled wrath and fury bold grew dim and feeble. Fear had quenched that fire, and in his heart an hundred passions fought, yet none on fear or base retire he thought. While unresolved he stood, the victor knight arrived, and seemed in quickness, haste, and speed, in boldness, greatness, goodliness, and might, above all princes born of human seed. The Turk small while resists, not death nor fight, made him forget his state or race through dread. He fled no strokes, he fetched no groan nor sigh, bold were his motions last, proud, stately, high. Now when the Soldan in these battles passed, that Antheus-like oft fell, oft rose again, ever more fierce, more fell down at last, to lie forever. When this prince was slain, fortune, that seld is stable, firm or fast, no longer durst resist the Christian knight train, but ranged herself in row with Godfrey's knights. With them she serves, she runs, she rides, she fights. The pagan troops, the king's own squadron, fled, of all the east the strength, the pride, the flower, late called immortal, now discomfited, it lost that title proud, and lost all power. To him that with the royal standard fled, thus Emerino said, with speeches sour, "Art not thou he to whom to bear I gave my king's great banner and his standard brave? This ensign, Rimedon, I gave not thee to be the witness of thy fear and flight. Coward, dost thou thy lord and captaincy in battle strong, and run'st thyself from fight? What seek'st thou? Safety? Come, return with me. The way to death is path to virtue right. Here let him fight that would escape, for this the way to honor, way to safety is. The man returned, and swelled with scorn and shame. The duke with speeches grave exhorts the rest. He threats, he strikes sometime, till back they came, and rage against force, despair against death addressed. Thus of his broken armies gan he frame a battle now, some hope dwelt in his breast. But Tissaphernes bold revived him most, who fought and seemed to win when all was lost. Wonders that day wrought noble Tissaphern, the hardy Normans all he overthrew. The Flemings fled before the champion stern, Guerniere, Rogero, Gerard bold he slew. His glorious deeds to praise and fame aturn, his life's short date prolonged, enlarged, and drew. And then, as he that set sweet life at naught, the greatest peril, danger, most he sought. he spied Rinaldo, and although his field of azure purple now and sanguine shows, and though the silver bird amid his shield were armed ghouls, yet he the champion knows, and says, "Here greatest peril is. Heavens yield strength to my courage, fortune to my blows, that fair Armida her revenge may see. Help, Machan, for his arms I vow to thee." Thus prayed he, but all his vows were vain. Mahound was deaf, or slept in heavens above, and as a lion strikes him with his train, his native wrath to quicken and to move, so he awaked his fury and disdain, and sharped his courage on the whetstone love. Himself he saved behind his mighty targe, and forward spurred his steed, and gave the charge. The Christian saw the hardy warrior come, and leapt forth to undertake the fight. The people round about gave place and room, and wondered on that fierce and cruel sight. Some praised their strength, their skill and courage, some. Such and so desperate blows struck the knight, struck either knight, that all that saw forgot both ire and strife, their wounds, their hurts, forgot both death and life. One struck, the other did both strike and wound. His arms were surer, and his strength was more. From Tisipherne the blood streamed down around. His shield was reft, his helm was rent and tore. The dame that saw his blood besmear the ground, his armor broke, limbs weak, wounds deep and sore, and all her guard dead, fled and overthrown, thought, now her field lay waste, her hedge lay down. Environed with so brave a troop but late, now stood she in her chariot, all alone. She feared bondage, and her life did hate. All hope of conquest and revenge was gone. Half mad and half amazed from where she sat, she leapt down and fled from friends and foe. On a swift horse she mounts, and forth she rides, alone, save for disdain and love, her guides. In days of old, Queen Cleopatra so, alone, fled from the fight and cruel fray, against Augustus great, his happy foe, leaving her lord to loss and sure decay. And as that lord, for love, let honor go, followed her flying sails and lost the day, so Tisipherne, the fair and fearful dame, would follow, but his foe forbids the same. But when the pagan's joy and comfort fled, it seemed the sun was set, the day was night. Gainst the brave prince with whom he combated, he turned, and on the forehead struck the knight. When thunders forged are in Typhoeus' bed, not Bronte's hammer falls so swift, so right. The furious stroke fell on Rinaldo's crest, and made him bend his head down to his breast. The champion in his stirrups high upstart, and cleft his hauberk high, hard and tender side, and sheathed his weapon in the pagan's heart, the castle where man's life and soul do bide. The cruel sword his breast and hinder part with double wound unclosed, and opened wide, and two large doors made for his life and breath, which passed, and cured hot love with frozen death. This done, Rinaldo stayed and looked around, where he should harm his foes or help his friends. Nor of the pagans saw he squadron sound, each standard falls, ensign to earth descends. His fury quiet then and calm he found, there all his wrath, his rage, and rancor ends. He called to mind how far from help or aid Armida fled, alone, amazed, afraid. Well saw he when she fled, and with that sight the prince had pity, courtesy, and care. He promised her to be her friend and knight when erst he left her in the island bare. The way she fled, he ran and rode aright, her palfrey's feet signs in the grass outwear. But she, this while, found out an ugly shade, fit place for death, where naught could life persuade. Well pleased was she with those shadows brown, and yet displeased with luck, with life, with love. There from her steed she lighted, there laid down her bow and shafts, her arms that helpless prove. There, lie with shame, she says, disgraced, o'erthrown. Blunt are the weapons, blunt the arms I move, weak to revenge my harms or harm my foe. My shafts are blunt. Ah, love, weren't thine were so. Alas, among so many, could not one draw blood, one wound, or rend his skin? All other breasts to you are marble stone. Dare you then pierce a woman's bosom thin? See, see, my naked heart, on this alone employ your force, this fort is eath to win. And love will shoot you from his mighty bow. Weak is the shot that driply falls in snow. I pardon, Will, your fear and weakness past. Be strong, mine arrows, cruel, sharp, against me. Ah, wretch, how is thy chance and fortune cast, if placed in these thy good and comfort be? But since all hope is vain, all help is waste, since hurts ease hurts, wounds must cure wounds in thee. Then with thine arrow stroke, cure stroke of love, death for thy heart must salve and surgeon prove. And happy me, if being dead and slain, I bear not with me this strange plague to hell. Love, stay behind, come thou with me, Disdain, and with my wronged soul for ever dwell, or else with it turn to the world again, and vex that night with dreams and visions fell, and tell him, when twixt life and death I strove, my last wish was revenge, last word was love. And with that word, half mad, half dead she seems, an arrow, poignant, strong, and sharp she took. When her dear knight found her in these extremes, now fit to die, and pass the Stygian brook, now pressed to quench her own and beauty's beams, now death sat on her eyes, death in her look, when to her back he stepped and stayed her arm, stretched forth to do that service, last, last harm. She turns, and ere she knows, her lord she spies, whose coming was unwished, unthought, unknown. She shrieks, and twines away her disdainful eyes from his sweet face. She falls dead in a swoon, falls as a flower half cut, that bending lies. He held her up, and lest she tumble down, under her tender side his arm he placed, his hand her girdle loosed, her gown unlaced, and her fair face, fair bosom, he bedews with tears, tears of remorse, of ruth, of sorrow. As the pale rose, her color lost renews with the fresh drops fallen from the silver morrow. So she revives, and cheeks empurpled shows, moist with their own tears, and with tears they borrow. Thrice looked she up, her eyes thrice closed she, as who say, "Let me die ere look on thee." And his strong arm, with weak and feeble hand, she would have thrust away, loosed and untwined. Oft strove she, but in vain, to break that band, for he the hold he got not yet resigned. Herself fast bound in those dear knots she fanned, dear, though she feigned scorn, strove and repined. At last she speaks, she weeps, complains, and cries, yet durst not, did not, would not see his eyes. Cruel at thy departure, at return as cruel. Say, what chance thee hither guideth? Wouldst thou prevent her death, whose heart forlorn for thee? For thee death strokes each hour divideth? Com'st thou to save my life? Alas, what scorn, what torment for our meat poor abideth? No, no, thy crafts and sleights I well descry, but she can little do that cannot die. Thy triumph is not great nor well arrayed, unless in chains thou lead a captive dame, a dame now ta'en by force, before betrayed. This is thy greatest glory, greatest fame. Time was that thee of love and life I prayed. Let death now end my love, my life, my shame. Yet let not thy false hand bereave this breath, for if it were thy gift, hateful were death. Cruel, myself an hundred ways can find to rid me from thy malice, from thy hate. If weapons sharp, if poisons of all kind, if fire, if strangling fail in that estate, yet ways enough I know to stop this wind. Thousand entries hath the house of fate. Ah, leave these flatteries, leave weak hope to move. Cease, cease, my hope is dead, dead is my love. Thus mourned she, and from her watery eyes disdain and love dropped down, rolled up in tears. From his pure fountains ran two streams likewise, wherein chaste pity and mild ruth appears. Thus with sweet words the queen he pacifies. Madam, appease your grief, your wrath, your fears, for to be crowned, not scorned, your life I save. Your foe, nay, but your friend, your knight, your slave. But if you trust no speech, no oath, no word, yet in mine eyes, my zeal, my truth, behold. For to that throne whereof thy sire was lord, I will restore thee, crown thee with that gold. And if high heaven would so much grace afford, as from thy heart this cloud, this veil unfold of paganism, in all the east thou, no dame, should equalize thy fortune, state, and fame. Thus plaineth he, thus prays, and his desire endears with sighs that fly and tears that fall, that as against the warmth of Titan's fire snowdrifts consume on tops of mountains tall, so melts her wrath, but love remains entire. Behold, she says, your handmaid and your thrall. My life, my crown, my wealth, use at your pleasure. Thus death her life became, loss proved her treasure. This while the captain of the Egyptian host, that saw his royal standard laid on ground, saw Rimedon, that ensign's prop and post, by Godfrey's noble hand killed with one wound, and all his folk discomfit, slain and lost. No coward was in this last battle found, but rode about and sought, nor sought in vain, some famous hand of which he might be slain. Against Lord Godfrey boldly out he flew, for nobler foe he wished not, could not spy. Of desperate courage showed he tokens true, where'er he joined or stayed or passed by, and cried to the duke as near he drew, "Behold, of thy strong hand I come to die, yet trust to overthrow thee with my fall. My castle's ruins shall break down thy wall." This said, forth spurred they both, both high advanced, their swords aloft, both struck at once, both hit. His left arm wounded had the knight of France, His shield was pierced, his vambrace cleft and split. The pagan backward fell, half in a trance, on his left ear his foe so hugely smit, and as he sought to rise, Godfredo's sword pierced him through. So died that army's lord. Of his great host, when Emiran was dead, fled the small remnant that alive remained. Godfrey espied, as he turned his steed, great Altamor on foot, with blood all stained, with half a sword, half helm upon his head, against whom a hundred fought, yet not one gained. "Cease, cease this strife," he cried, "and thou, brave knight, yield! I am Godfrey! Yield thee to my might!" He that till then his proud and haughty heart to act of humbleness did never bend, when that great name he heard, from the north part of our wide world renowned to Ethiop's end, answered, "I yield to thee, thou worthy art. I am thy prisoner. Fortune is thy friend. On Altamoro great thy conquest bold of glory shall be rich, and rich of gold. My loving queen, my wife and lady kind, shall ransom me with jewels, gold, and treasure." "God shield," quoth Godfrey, "that my noble mind should praise and virtue so by profit measure. All that thou hast from Persia and from Ind, enjoy it still. Therein I take no pleasure. I set no rent on life, no price on blood. I fight and sell not war for gold or good." This said, he gave him to his knights to keep, and after those that fled his course he bent. They to their rampiers fled and trenches deep, yet could not so death's cruel stroke prevent. The camp was won, and all in blood doth steep, the blood in rivers streamed from tent to tent. It soiled, defiled, defaced all the prey, shields, helmets, armors, plumes, and feathers gay. Thus conquered Godfrey, and as yet the sun dived not in silver waves his golden wane, but daylight served him to the fortress won, with his victorious host to turn again. His bloody coat he put not off, but run to the high temple with his noble train, and there hung up his arms, and there he bows his knees, there prayed, and there performed his vows. The end of Gerusalemme Liberata, Jerusalem Delivered.